praise God. We're so thankful that you're in the house of the Lord tonight, every one of you. Amen. We're so honored, amen, that you've come. Cheyenne, amen. What an honor to see you. Misty, what a joy to see you tonight. Cheyenne, starting SFA. I told her, I said, oh, that's why we have that flag out there, the SFA flag. Amen. We want to just, we're so thankful, amen, for our students that are coming that goes to SFA. And we want to be all we could be for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And let me just let you know, right around the corner is great things that is going to be happening. Our Senior Saints Crusade. Amen. This is for us, but it's for other people. Would you help me get the word out to other people? If you don't have a picture of this on your phone, if you don't have Facebook, please help us get it out. Amen. Because I feel that there's some senior citizens that need to be encouraged. There's some people from other churches that are senior saints. Amen. Hey, we sent, for the youth crusade, we sent it to churches all over this. Amen. And locally, I don't think we had only one church in our area. Maybe one church from our, or two. I take it back. There was somebody from Center, and there was people from Brother Alder's church. Only people in our area that came. But we had other people come from elsewhere that came, and we're so thankful for that. But more than just getting a crowd, the purpose is not to have a big crowd. The purpose is fellowship and to give people an opportunity to come and enjoy the time with the Lord. So would you help me do that? Amen. We're so blessed. Also, not this Tuesday night, but the 25th, we have a missionary to Albania. Does anybody know anybody from Albania in Nacogdoches, Texas? Let me see your hand. If you know anybody from Albania, who is it, Brother Zach? Napolis. You mean Napolis? Those young men that own that are from Albania. And I have been waiting for a missionary to Albania. And this young couple that is going to Albania, the Carpenter family, have never been to Albania as a missionary yet. We have a connection. These Albanians and Nacogdoches that own Napolis have family there. And I'm praying that the outreach of this church and the influence of this church will help our missionary to have a connection in Albania. I mean, he's going to be praying this week. We got a whole week to pray. Amen. On the 25th, amen, they're going to pull their motorhome up and park here on that Monday, the 24th. Amen. They have a 17-year-old daughter, and we want to get acquainted with her. And they travel here and there, but we're going to believe God that we could connect to our Albanian friends. Amen. That the only thing they know of Christianity that was Mother Teresa was born in Albania. And they're very proud of that. But I'm believing God, amen, that our Albanian friends can be baptized here in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And revival can happen as a result of this church and a result of our prayers, amen, elsewhere. Praise God. Help me pray. Amen. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter tonight. Amen. This is a letter, we call it an epistle, a letter to the church, and it's 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. The scripture says here in the very first verse, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, all that bitterness and anger, and hypocrisies, pretenses, insincerity, and all evil speaking. Everybody say all evil speaking. Every kind of it. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You can't grow until we lay some things aside. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and how many have tasted of the graciousness of God? Amen. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, Jesus came, and men didn't want him around, even though Jesus had the answer, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And he said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner. And to those that don't believe, it's a stone of stumbling. It's a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But verse 9 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen to this, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtain mercy. He said, you were not anything at all, but now you have received something. You have been pitted with something that's going to outlive your life here. From nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. Are you thankful today that God has chosen you? And you are a treasure. Amen. In this hour to God. And God is a treasure to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands? Amen. And I want you to thank God for what he's done for you. Lord, I love you. Thank you for being the rock in my life, Lord. Thank you for being the identity in my soul, Lord. I love you. Thank you for making a difference in me, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that preciousness that you give. God, the grace and the mercy that you put in my life. I thank you today, Jesus. I trust and I believe you, God, for what you're going to do in my life and the life of your people tonight. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Thank you for standing. Peter's writing and he's encouraging people to lay aside some pettiness. Amen. Have you ever seen somebody always had a grudge? Always had their arm cocked back, braced because of something on the inside, a guile. And the scripture's saying here we need to lay it all aside, all anger. It's not worth it. All malice and guile, evil speakings, hypocrisies. I mean, boy, today has been a day. Amen. This morning I couldn't pronounce humanitarian aid. Amen. Hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, all evil speakings, the scripture says. Be done with this. Look at your neighbor and say, be done with pettiness and hypocrisies. Clean house. Get it out. Amen. But I want to be like one, like a baby that's wanting something from God, that milk of the Lord. Amen. I want to grow. I want to attach. I want something to flow through my life. And I find that my God is gracious. But when God comes in, he builds us up. Jesus came as a living stone. They rejected him. But today, we're also that hour as that stone that people could build on. And I want to be strong for God. And I want to be something for God. I want to have that. Amen. The Bible says to those that are disobedient, he's a stumbling block. He's something they stumble and they're offended at God. I don't want to ever be offended in something that has picked me up and graciously cleaned my life and graciously forgiven me. I don't want to be offended at that kind of Savior that I have. I want to build on the rock. How about you? I want him to be the cornerstone in my life. I want him to be the key in my life of all his grace and power. Amen. I want him to be the reason. You know the difference between a pile of stones and a stone house? One has everything put together. One has assembly. One has things that are structured. tonight in this place. Amen. I just don't want to be unfit and just scattered as a pile of rocks. Amen. But oh, I want the stone to be placed in my life and set in me. Amen. I want to be built up in Him with you as God's people to be something peculiar. Amen. You're a chosen people. Amen. A chosen generation. You're living in a chosen time right now. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of Him who's brought you out of darkness and put you into His, He said, called you out of darkness. Amen. Are you thankful that God is still calling people out of darkness? Are you thankful that God's call is still calling people? Amen. Oh, all of a sudden, there's a gentleman the other day, Brother Zach and I are standing outside. Amen. We're working in the second building, but we pulled up here to get something, and we're putting some tools in my truck. And somebody's standing behind me. And there's a gentleman said, do y'all go to church here? And I said, we do. And he said, is this an apostolic church? And I said, it is. And he said, is it a real apostolic church that prays and believes God and preaches the old time message of Acts 2:38? I said, it is. He said, I've been looking for an apostolic church. I'm ready. I'm coming home. Amen. Hey, the Lord's been dealing with me. Amen. I'm coming home. And that man is sitting right there. Amen. Oh, friend, are you thankful that God's still calling? The call of God. The call of God. God's call tonight. He hasn't quit calling. Oh, He's calling out of darkness into His wonderful, marvelous light. That we know what He's done for us. He set us on the rock. That we could show forth the praises of Him who brought us out of darkness. Are you thankful that God has brought me out of darkness of deception, the darkness of blindness, where I was doing things I blindly didn't even was realizing that I was doing against Him. Amen. But oh, when He brought me into His light, amen, I can say tonight like David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's the glory of the lifter of my head. What a difference God makes. Still calling, transforming, and still doing a great thing. You know, tonight there is an identity of those that live in the light. There's identity that God gives as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. There's an identity when somebody has a relationship with the Almighty God. We're just not Pentecostals. We're not just apostolics by just word and a sign out there and by a title and a logo. Amen. In fact, friend, God's not interested, amen, in us having performance on our platform and a big logo, amen, to push to our world. But the Lord is wanting the light to dwell in our light of the praises of Him who brought us out of darkness would be the identity. Amen. That people, when they see us, they don't see us. They don't see just us. But they see the light of God shining and exhibited. There's an identity. Oh, yes. The real and those that are not. In fact, the word hypocrite comes from a Greek word that means two-faced. Man, I don't want to be two-faced. It actually comes from an old theater word. To where back in those days, an actor would hold up a face on a stick and he would portray the mask, the voice there. One moment he may be somebody and he would change his voice to act out whatever the mask was. And behind his back was another mask and he would switch it and change his voice and his demeanor to act out the other mask. That's where the word hypocrite comes from. God is looking for somebody that has no mask, no theatrics, Amen. No acting or pretension. I'm looking for somebody tonight that is tired of all the cosmetics of sin and life and putting up trying to perform and impress people. Amen. Are you sick and tired of trying to impress people and put yourself on a platform of life to try to appease the crowd and make yourself feel like you're something? Hey, friend, it don't matter what the world thinks about you. What matters is what God thinks about you. Amen. And God will let his light shine through you, and your identity will be, hey, I belong to him. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. Your identity is important. And I don't listen to talk radio very much. The only time I do it is when I'm in between places here to church, en route to the church, en route to home, or en route to somewhere here in town. But there's several different of these radio commentators or programs. Through the years, I've heard them have an advertisement of a company that will protect your identity. They boast that you could put your social security number out on the internet and nobody could steal your identity because the system they have will lock your identity and keep it away from those that wants to steal your identity. Today the big deal is everybody knows everything about you. Phone calls can be made from Pakistan tonight, and you answer the call, and pretty soon you don't even realize it, but you're tapped in. Everything on your phone is now part of their possessions. Your accounts and all that now is accessible to these people that are pirates, amen, of the cyber. Not only that, amen, when you use online your card in different sites and you think, oh, well, I'm just going to buy something, you better be sure today if it's really legitimate, because amen, they could take your number of your card, your identity, and before you know it, they could sabotage and begin to take everything in your account and wipe it out. Some of us has already had that. Have you ever been hacked? I'm tired of being hacked by the enemy. I'm tired of that hacking of the enemy. Whenever we used to grow up, when somebody says, I'm hacking, that means they took an axe and they were chopping away at something. Today, the enemy is hacking people's identity in the Lord. He's after your identity. He wants to chop away everything that belongs to God. Hey, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed to be apostolic by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to be born again of the water and the spirit. I'm not ashamed of that. But we could get so involved in saying, we believe in Acts 2:38, but our identity shows something else. If the enemy could steal your identity, he has you. Your identity is your foundation in God. It shapes how you see yourself, how you live, and how you respond to life challenges. Oscar Wilde said this, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. God only made one you, not 20, not 10, not two. You can search the whole world through. God only made one you. I want to tell somebody tonight, amen, God has called you to be you. God has called you to be yourself. He's pulled you out of darkness, and he wants your identity, amen, to represent him. Your call is an ambassador. Nobody could do your work for you. I could pray for you, but I can't do your praying for you. I could walk with you, but I can't do your walking with you. Hey, I could talk to you about God, but I can't do your talking to God, amen, for you. Tonight, God is calling people, amen, to rise up to that place of identity, to restore and to get your identity solid in him. He's looking for a people tonight that will love him and love his appearing and be the light in this hour. The quickest way to lose yourself is to try to be everybody else. And I'm going to say, Apostolic Lighthouse, we don't need to be everybody else. My kids, one of the greatest things whenever we were challenged with their teenage years, and I still have one, a teenager. But my older kids, the famous words of Katie was, but daddy, everybody else is doing it. And I would have to tell Katie, Katie, we don't wear everybody else's shoes. Their shoes stink. I'm called to wear my shoes. I can't fit in everybody else's shoes. If everybody else is doing it, that's their problem. But Katie, we got to walk what God has helped us to walk. And I want to tell somebody in the house of God tonight, we don't wear everybody else's shoes. We don't do just because everybody else is doing it. We live a life pleasing unto God for ourselves. You got to get it in your heart and realize God has called you to be you. One man said, you know, I'm just weird. I want to tell you, I'm not weird. We're limited editions. We're just limited editions. There's none like us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ rests in our lives all because we identified with him. There's people identifying as all kind of things, cats, dogs, and other things. But I identify as his. I belong to him. In fact, you can't spell identity without the word I. But it's better when the I is found in Christ. Christ in me and I in Christ. That's why it's so important. It defines your worth, your identity. The world often measures worth by appearance, wealth, talent, and success. But God, in God, your worth is rooted in who he says you are. Amen. First Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. In other words, you're handpicked by God and set apart. You are something to God today. You ought to give the king a hand. I love having two Abigails on the front row. Abigails, you don't belong to this world. You belong to the Almighty God. What can God do with your life? Even when you let God be God and your eye is in Christ, your eyes are on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, he will take you and you become something in him. He shapes how you live. Ephesians says you walk worthy of the vocation where you're called. And when you know you're a child of the king, you'll carry yourself like one. You'll speak like one. You'll act like one. You'll think differently from the world. Praise God. You'll act kingly or queenly. You'll be his princess and his prince. You'll be his child. And folks, when he's your king, there's going to be a sense of royalty in your life, a joyfulness. And we say the pleasures of this world will never, never satisfy you. But from the king's table, and when the king feeds you, amen, and puts it in your mouth, God is able to take your little bit in life and feeds multitude. Amen, multitudes. Isn't it amazing? Amen, just a little boy's lunch that day, Jesus blessed it, broke it, and he fed many. And when Jesus takes your life and he uses your little bit when you give it to him, amen, the Lord is able to take from you and break it and bless it, and many come to him. I'm thankful for the power of God's identity in my life. Amen. Hope friend, tonight, you are something to God. Your identity protects you from lies. Satan's strategy from the garden has been to attack the identity of humanity. Did God really say? Does God really mean? If you don't know who you are in Christ, you'll be vulnerable to insecurity, fear, shame, and trying to earn approval. Facebook is one way you'll find somebody that's high on Facebook looking for approval. That means they're insecure. They want to be validated. If you had to have your gong rang by Facebook or social media or the crowd or the approval of everybody else, it means that you're insecure. Friend, I want to tell you, amen, we all like a pat on the back, don't we? We need that. I'm not negating that, but I'm telling somebody, amen, there's nothing like when the Lord lifts you up and God says, well done, my child. I'd rather have the approval of God, amen, than the approval of man. It gives you strength in trials. When the storm hits, you have identity. Your identity will anchor and keep you anchored. I'm God's and he is mine. Even in a failure, you can stand back up. I want to tell you, failure should not knock you down, because your identity is not in your performance, but in God's love. How many has ever fallen? You've done something and boom, you smack fell on your... Anybody's ever had to eat your word? Have you ever said something and had to go back and try to retract it? Come on, am I in here by myself? Have you ever had to go back and said, I was wrong? Man, we don't like to be wrong. But I'm so thankful that the Lord helps us to learn, amen, and he teaches us that we're not here, we're vulnerable. And when we come to him, even in the storms and even in failures, I could get back up because my identity is in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm thankful for that. Not only that, but identity empowers your mission. Amen. You have a reason and a purpose to live. Amen. You can live boldly. There's a calling in your life. And when you know your identity in Jesus Christ, amen, you can stop living to earn love and approval from everybody else. And your love, amen, is now more than what you're trying to appeal to get. You start loving God, and God's love flows through you. And you love the unlovable. You reach the people everybody don't care about. And God uses you as a light in the darkness. Are you thankful that God still reaches the unwanted, the misfits, and the broken, and the despised and rejected? Amen. When you've been pulled out of that pit and out of that label tank, and God has changed you, you have a different perspective about people. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the identity. Amen. If he reached down to where I was and brought me out of that, amen, look what he has to use in my life as a testimony that he could reach to anybody. He could reach to the nobody level and bring you up to something in him. Look, he still makes something out of nothing. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise for that glory that he has. Woo! God has something for your life. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. When you don't see it and your eyes are blinded to your purpose and identity in God, the enemy works great works in your life. The children of Israel, I want you to catch this. Joseph went to Egypt, and it wasn't his choice, but God's purpose. He was taken by his brothers, and he was the first slave. His brothers took him, and they captured him, and they sold him shamefully. And he ended up there, but God had a purpose. God had a purpose. As a result, God began to bless that, and when Israel came into Egypt, it was about 70 people. Think with me. They were there about 400 years. But I want you to catch this. Exponential growth began to happen. 400 years from 70 people to over 2 to 2.5 million people. Talking about a big boom of population. Now, I want you to think about it. Egyptians looked at the children of Israel, their slaves, as being their possessions. And they looked at them because they were growing so big. Look at my machinery. It's expanding my business. These were slaves. These were workers. And they're doing us a favor because they're repopulating. Not only that, the Bible talks about how healthy they were, how prosperous they were, how they had it all together. They wouldn't like this any other slave. And they looked at them as a productive investment. Look at the growth of their investment. The Israelites, their population boomed in Egypt. And I want you to think, the growth rate was remarkably about 4.3%. If you do the math, and Brother Corbett likes math, Sister Becky likes math, you start studying it, you'll find the Bible's clear that their growth was abnormal. Not only did they grow in number, but they were healthy. They had productivity. Their multiplication continued even under the oppression of Egypt. And they became a threat to Egypt. And the Pharaoh said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We want you, every male child you have, we want you to kill him. And the Bible says that the children of Israel started realizing, we don't belong here. There's a blessing on our life. We belong to God. And instead of throwing their kids away and killing their kids, the Bible says Israel began to increase and became fruitful abundantly. Exodus, the first chapter, verse 7. They began to swarm. That word fruitful means to swarm. They became strong, extraordinary productive. And the Bible begins to say that Pharaoh got worried. The midwives protected their newborns. And this obedience to God versus the king caused them to increase even much more. And friend, I want to tell you, amen, you're either going to be a stumbling block or a building block in your relationship with God. It pays to obey. God's favor and blessings come for those who live for him. And Pharaoh had a massive threat to him. And the infanticide was a means of population control, but God still blessed. I want to tell you, in the midst, God had a deliverer. Amen. There's deliverance in God. There was a baby born, and his name was Moses. And I want you, if you could title something tonight about that population explosion, it would be the boom and the boon, that blessing of God in the midst of that population. What did Moses' mama do to preserve his life? Anybody knows what she built? She built an ark. We need to build an ark for our children. Let me say this. If we don't invest in our kids while they're young, they're going to die with the old. Pastors in the denominational movement are saying this today. They have no children. Their churches are being forfeited and sold out, just like in England. Great big cathedrals are empty today, all because their people have died out. I want to tell the saints of God tonight, I know the crowd is small tonight, but our God is not small. Amen. There's young people here we better invest in. Amen. Senior saint, you need to invest in young people. You need to reach these young people. You may can't relate to every one of them, to their ideology today, but I want you to pray for them. I want you to get in your mind, I got to invest in them. I got to do something in this hour to put something in. Moses' mom built an ark. Where did she learn that from? Noah. And Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh, but there was one day he said, I'm not the child of Pharaoh. And God used Moses as an instrument. The Lord, through Moses, began to confront Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh didn't want to do it. He sent 10 plagues. The first one was the water turned to blood. Frogs. Can you imagine frogs everywhere? The whole countryside was ribbit, ribbit, hop, hop. The next one was lice. Gnats. Man. Oh, lice scratching and itching. Do you know that the children of Israel had all these plagues too, the first three plagues, but the fourth plagues was the flies. Swarms of flies fill the Egyptian houses. But the Bible says after that fourth plague, God made a line of demarcation that the people of Israel, the people of God, Sister Kristen, God protected them and separated them with a distinct identity. Tonight, in the midst of a world, we may go through some things, hear me, but God has a line of demarcation around those that are his. I'm thankful today that while I'm in this world, I'm not of this world. I have an identity to a higher perspective. Not only did flies fill Egypt, but the essence of flies is maggots, right? The next thing, livestock became diseased. Cattle, horses, donkeys, camels, sheep, oxen, they started dying. boils all over their skin. Painful sores broke out on the Egyptians and their animals as well. Hail with fire devastated their crops and killed and exposed people and animals. Then came the locusts. They devoured what hail had left. Darkness, the thick cloud covered Egypt 3 days. But the children of Israel, they had light because of their identity. Then came the time of the death of the firstborn. The Bible says the firstborn in every Egyptian house died at midnight. From Pharaoh's house to the captives and those that did not have the blood applied to their door. I'm thankful today that my God, amen, he knows how to pass over those with his blood. There's an identity. There is something God protects and draws a distinct line. Amen. I'm thankful today, amen, that whenever finally Pharaoh had enough, he said, go, get out of here. And Abigail's, they took off, the children of Israel took off, and they started marching to get out of Egypt. And anytime you go to get out of sin, out of Egypt and out of slavery, out of addiction, I'm telling you, every devil in hell wants to chase you. Every devil in hell wants to claim you back. Amen. When a spirit is going out of a house and a house is swept in garners, there goeth, amen, that spirit and findeth 7 others just like it. Amen. And will go and try to repossess that house. Amen. Hear me. Listen to this. Pharaoh changed his mind. And he sent out 600 of his elite force, 600 specially trained, best equipped chariots. In that day, most of the chariots carried 2 men, a driver and a warrior, sometimes 3. That's somewhere between 1,200 to 18 of the most elite special forces of Egypt. Then the Bible says there were other chariots, not just these 600, other chariots. The text says, all the chariots of Egypt. Egypt's army was massive. This means several thousand more chariots could have been involved. Not only that, infantry and cavalry, those that rode horses and those that marched as foot soldiers, Exodus 14:9. The scripture said, all Pharaoh's houses and chariots and horsemen and his army. The total pushing force could have been 10,000 of the most elite fighting force and machine on the face of that time. I want to just say, Pharaoh did not send a token force. He sent the full mighty force of Egypt's military. It highlights the pride, the 600 chosen, the pride of Egypt's elite. Yet the Bible says in Exodus 14:27 through 28, God drowned them all in the Red Sea, showing that no human power can stand against his deliverance. I want you to think with me today. No weapon formed against us shall, somebody finish it, prosper. When you have identity with the Lord. Saint of God, you may not have at times with just enough. And God helps you bring your checkbook to a beautiful balance. And God always supply, even if he sends a raven, or he sends a beggar, he sends a drunk, or he sends it somehow. God will always take care of his people. I'd rather be identified as that type. Amen. Than to have great riches at the snap of my fingers. I'd rather have God and say, God, this is your problem. When I got a bill and I have a problem, I'm able to put it in the hands of God and say, God, I got a need right here. And everything I've given belongs to you. I want you to say this, when I tithe, amen, 10%, all the tithing in the Old Testament time and New Testament time, you brought your 10% of the best you had. And only thing God is asking you of the best of what he owns in your life when you tithe. Your tithe is the best of what God already owns, not what you own. I don't own anything. But when you take ownership, Brother Zach, and you think, I have to pay my tithes. No, 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 I get to pay my tithes. Because God has a way, when you give God his best of what already he owns, amen, God has a way of blessing you with his best. What an identity, Sister Nina, that you have in God, that God has blessed your life. Amen, Sister Chris, look what God has done for your life. God has blessed and blessed. Amen, but how beautiful when we fall into that place of obedience to God. Children of Israel, God began to bless. I want you to understand, they were pursued by the Egyptian army, but they were drowned. The armies were drowned. Think with me, the waters of the Red Sea divided and united. And the waters of baptism will divide you and unite you. God has an identity, a belonging that he wants to live in your life. He wants to put in your life an identity. You think about Peter and John in the New Testament. They had just received the Holy Ghost and they were going to the temple of hour prayer. Acts the 3rd chapter. A lame man was sitting there, lame from his mother's womb. And the Bible says Peter and John walking through the gate. The man said, alms, I need something to eat. Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I'm going to give you. My question is, what do you have to give to this world? When you have an identity in Jesus Christ, you have something to give. And this man leaps up, walked, stood with him, entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising. It draws attention of the religious leaders. They knew who that man was. It was leaping and running and praising God in their temple. They arrest Peter and John to demand an explanation. And I want you to understand the observation. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, this is what happened. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The identity. And they were marveled because they said, these men had never gone to school. These men had never gone to the rabbinical or the rabbi studies. These men didn't come through this. They were just old fishermen. But they had been with Jesus, and Jesus made a difference in their life. Are you thankful that your identity today is not your degree or not your past, amen, but your identity, amen, Jesus has made a difference in my life. Jesus has changed me. Oh, what a change he's made in me. They were astonished because with them was living evidence, Brother Zach, seeing the man who was lame standing with them. They could say nothing against them. Are you thankful for the true evidence? Amen. That Jesus Christ, you know what it was when that lame man was standing with them? Amen. Think with me. Amen. With that lame man standing with them, proved to those gainsayers and those mockers and those people in the temple that Jesus was alive and well. Because, amen, that lame man said, it's by their Jesus that I stand here, amen, whole before you. I want to tell somebody today how beautiful to know the power of that identity. Amen, when you've been with Jesus, Jesus is able to take the lame, the lowly, and the people, that friend, that have no hope in life. And Jesus is to make a new identity in them. If any man be in Christ, the scripture said he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Association with Jesus shows that the world can tell when something has been truly happening in your life, when somebody's been with him. The evidence, amen, will exhibit, amen, a power in your life that is not yours. Amen. It's not by me. It's not by what I've done. It's what Jesus is doing. And friend, God delights in using ordinary people that have learned just to be available. He confounds the wise, amen, by using you of all people to be his example. It's not what you claim vocally. There's something about identity. Let me say this. They called Peter and John unlearned men. But the whole point, they noticed they had been with Jesus. The best diploma a person can ever hold is when the world says they have been with Jesus. Identity in Christ doesn't come from the school of men, but it comes from the presence of God when you get in the presence and you are a frequent visitor, amen, but to the throne of grace. I want you to say this. The healed man was Peter and John's business card. The identity was stamped as God's miracle. When you walk with Jesus, you don't have to tell people who you are. They'll see it.
That's right.
You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Pharaoh had armies. Egypt had riches. But Israel's identity was simple. They belong to God. Pharaoh, it's not who you are and what you have. It's who these people are. They are mine. The church doesn't need a brand. We already have an identity. And his name is Jesus, the name above all names. Your past may describe you, but only Jesus Christ defines you. Are you thankful tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Identity is not what the crowd calls you. It's what Jesus has written all over you. The scripture says you're living in red epistles, red of all men. And guess what it says when people look at you? Look what the Lord has done. He's healed my body. He's touched my mind. Oh, what a change he's made. Clap your hands to the King of Kings. Woo! The Pharisees in the time of Peter and John was there in the temple, the lame man. Their great credentials mattered. Great credentials and of I am of this particular, I'm of Gamaliel, I'm of this rabbi, I'm of this school, I'm of this. All these degrees and diplomas and positions and all the politics of that hour was something in the eyes of so many people. The pedigrees and all that. But the greatest credential for Peter and John was that Jesus was alive in their life. That's the better credential tonight that you could ever have. Something to think about on identity, to know that Jesus Christ has chosen you. Amen. It didn't come from a school of men, but it comes from the presence of the Almighty God. And tonight, isn't it beautiful when you start raising the banner of honor to Jesus? And you start recognizing, amen, where your identity comes from. Amen. Power doesn't come from the east or the west, but it comes from the Almighty God. Amen. Think about it. It's not by power. It's not by might, but by his spirit. Tonight in this place, stand with me. Amen. Somebody needs to raise that banner to Jesus. Amen. There's an identity crisis in this hour where people don't realize who they are. Amen. They're so... Amen. In the mix of this hour, trying to prove who they are and trying to find who they are. Amen. Tonight, let God prove through your life who you belong to. Let the Spirit of God lift you up and use your life. Hallelujah. Holy, holy. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is calling tonight in this place. Come on, the enemy wants to steal your identity. But God is wanting somebody to be who he has pulled you out of darkness to be. Amen. A living epistle. A light to this world. Amen. Somebody to join with him in honor and say, God, here am I. I belong to you. Yeah, God, every time I stray, every time I go elsewhere for identity, I find nothing but a crude world of emptiness, shame, and heartaches. I find nothing but mockery. I find nothing but emptiness. I find nothing but people that treat me in ways that I don't want to be treated. But when I come to you, I find a father. I find a friend. I find a provider. I find the God of heaven, earth, and sea. When I call to him, I find him. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I wish you could come close today. Amen, somebody, let's get in between the altar and the pulpit tonight. Amen, would you come close and lift your voice? Amen, young ladies, you have an identity that is beautiful to Jesus. You can't buy purity. Only Jesus could give you purity. I don't care how bad you've been, Martha. I don't care how bad you've been. She was possessed with devils. But when she came to Jesus, Jesus took her life and changed her identity. Hallelujah. 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 You don't have to get to the back of the line tonight. Amen. You don't have to live in the back of the back. Amen. Hallelujah. You could come boldly to the throne of grace, Sister Becky. You have the right to come before the throne of grace tonight because of Master, your Heavenly Father's right here tonight. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about flashing an identity card. He knows you. Amen. Even in your mother's womb, he called you and positioned and ordained and ministered tonight through your soul, Saint of God. Hallelujah. He's still calling out of darkness. Brother Duane, he's calling out of darkness. He's calling and pulling people out of darkness to walk into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. 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 Lady, lift your hands right now and let the Holy Ghost prove to you. Young man, lift your hands to the Almighty God. Come on, Grandma, Grandpa, Mama, Daddy. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost minister to your life. Come on, there's an identity. There's a power. There's a lift of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. When you feel the Holy Ghost, amen, won't you just let the Holy Ghost speak through you? Amen. When you get to that place where the Holy Ghost is inspiring you, amen, let the Holy Ghost give you utterance when you begin to speak. Amen. Begin to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost ministers to you. Come on, get to that place in the Spirit that you pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is one to feel. Hallelujah. Boldly come before the throne. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, there's identity the Holy Ghost is given tonight. Woo. Come on, let the Holy Ghost use you. Come on, be that instrument tonight. Yield it to the throne. Yield it to the power. Yield it to the force of God. Hallelujah. Let him use your life. Hallelujah. He wants to flow through you. Come on, that certain sound comes forth when we yield. The Holy Ghost gives identity. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Come on, God wants to flow through you and renew you tonight. Amen. Somebody pray. Get past just, amen, just that way of just, amen, just being here. Come on, let the Holy Ghost lead you to the depths of his glory.
To Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on, there's a fountain flowing right here tonight. You know what I feel right now? I feel healing happening for somebody's soul. There's restoration tonight. Woo, hallelujah. There's a restoring of the Holy Ghost for somebody in the name of Jesus right here tonight. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. If you're not praying for you, would you close your eyes and help me pray? Amen. If you're not going to pray for you, would you help me pray? There's somebody tonight that God is ready to heal on the inside. Amen. They've been having an identity problem. Amen. They've been battling the things of the world. It's trying to pull at them and steal their identity. Hallelujah. Come on, I want somebody to pray with authority right now. Pray with authority. Pray with authority, sister. Come on, brother, pray with authority. Hallelujah. Come on, take it to the realm of authority. That identity, hallelujah. Come on, that realm of authority tonight. Come on, take it deeper right now. Yes, yes.
God, you're so good.
So good. Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Come to Jesus. Give him
your
heart. Hallelujah.
Let him
hide. Woo, hallelujah. Ray ala maya. Hallelujah.
Gospel of Jesus.
Come on, you belong to him.
Jesus Christ.
You belong to him. He said la mala.
I'm not afraid to be.
He said ta da da ya da la 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 ra. Come on, there's a deep around the where we're at right now. I'm telling you, somebody needs to step out. Hallelujah. God wants you to step deeper than you've ever been. Come on, let the Holy Ghost lead you in the depths of his spirit. Let the Holy Ghost lead you deeper than you've been. Yes. Yes.
I'm not ashamed.
Hallelujah. Come on, give liberty to the Holy Ghost tonight when you pray.
I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord.
Full of Jesus.
Holy is the Lord.
I am not ashamed.
Woo!
What he wants me to be. Trade off the wrong for the right.
Hallelujah. Holy, 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 holy.
I am not.
Oh, shoma ra 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 ya ya. Ooh, ra 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 ma ra ra ya ra. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God.
Of Jesus Christ. I love you, Lord. I love you.
Jesus, fall fresh.
I'm yours, Lord.
Fall fresh tonight, God, in that soul. God, give liberty right here tonight, God. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the word of the Lord is against you. Satan, the name of Jesus is against you.
Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. 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 Holy, hoy, carabata, sataya.